Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who calls to us, "Follow me," dear fellow redeemed. Our sermon text this morning from the Gospel of John nicely ties together the theme of John's gospel with the theme of epiphany. Most of us know that the word epiphany means to show forth, to make known, to reveal, to appear. The epiphany theme is that Jesus Christ, in his words and actions, has shown himself as the Christ, the Messiah, the eternal Son of God, the Savior of the world. And that's the main theme and reason that John wrote his gospel. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John writes, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John has an epiphany message, and this morning's text is one of those messages. It presents Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Old Testament promised one, the only Savior of mankind. And it says his believers are on an epiphany message, mission, and that is to show forth, to make known, to reveal this marvelous truth that Jesus is Savior. Our text takes place one day after two of John the Baptist's disciples left him and began to follow Jesus. We heard that last Sunday in our gospel reading. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And both Andrew and the Apostle John left John the Baptist and began to follow Jesus. Andrew was so convinced of who Jesus was, he went to find his brother Peter. And he said to him, "We have found the Messiah." Notice the progression. John leads two of his former disciples to see Jesus. Jesus' words convinces them that he is indeed the Christ. And then one of them, Andrew, becomes a missionary and goes and finds his brother Peter and says, "This is Jesus the Messiah." Well, the next day, the same scenario repeats itself. Jesus heads towards Galilee and he sees a man named Philip and he says, "Follow me." And Philip does. And when Philip realizes this is the Savior, He goes and finds his friend Nathanael and tells him about Jesus. He says, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." The effect on a person who's been brought to faith in Jesus Christ is that the love that he now has in his heart will compel him, literally almost force him, to tell others about Jesus, so that they too can share in his joy and in his love. And that this morning is our Epiphany mission, to invite people to come and see Jesus. Our first point, his word draws people to him. Jesus' invitation to Philip, "Follow me," was not just to follow me to Galilee for a while, Philip. No, it was to follow him by leaving his father and mother, leaving his family, following him to the cross, following him to the empty tomb. It was to be a committed faith in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Jesus extended this invitation in two other places too. In Mark chapter 8, he said, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And in Luke and in John 8, he said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." This word in the original "follow," for "follow me," is a present imperative, which means it is a continuing action. Jesus didn't just say to Philip, "Follow me this once today, Philip." He's saying, "Follow me day after day after day." Philip is to trust Jesus today, tomorrow, and throughout every one of his tomorrows. These words are also an invitation to Philip to continue to learn about him, continue to grow in the knowledge of him, his Savior, the one who is going to bear his sins and pay for them in full. And wonderfully, that call, that invitation, still goes out today in God's word. That invitation went out to you and me as sinners. For some of us, many, many years ago, when we were baptized, or when we were young. For others of us, just recently. Through the power of the word and the Holy Spirit, it drew our hearts to Jesus. We began to trust in Jesus. We began to be disciples of Jesus. We began to follow Jesus. The question we need to ask is our following of Jesus today the same as it was when we began? Are we as faithful in our following Jesus, our faithful Savior, as it was when we first began to follow Jesus? Let's look at ourselves and see by looking at Philip. Philip's immediate action shows that disciples of Jesus are not only eager to follow Jesus, to learn about Jesus, to worship and praise him as our Lord and Savior, but they're eager to want to share that message with others. Philip began in the most natural place. He went and sought out his good friend, Nathanael. This statement of Philip is a confession of faith. Faith in the person of Jesus, that Jesus is not just a human being. He's the God-man, the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one, the only Savior, the fulfillment of God's promises in the Old Testament. Now, of course, Philip's knowledge of Jesus was not complete. But he did know that this man standing before him was his Lord and his Savior. And Nathanael was not so quickly won over. When Philip said, "Come and we found the Messiah," Nathanael answered, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael knew the Bible very well. He knew his Old Testament scriptures. He knew that there was not one prophecy in the Old Testament that said the Messiah would come out of Nazareth. He's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And anyway, Nazareth was that little kind of small, despised city way up north there in Galilee. Well, Philip doesn't spend any time arguing with his friend Nathanael. He simply says, come and see. Come and see Jesus. The Spirit had worked saving faith in Philip's heart through the power of Jesus' words. And now Philip wants his dear friend Nathanael to come under the same powerful influence. Clever arguments do not bring anyone to saving faith. The gospel does. The Apostle Paul declared, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So having accepted Philip's invitation to come and see, Nathanael now exposed himself to the power of Jesus' word. And Jesus surprises Nathanael. As Nathanael comes walking up to him, Jesus says something very amazing. He says, behold, look, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit. Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Jesus, in his omniscience, not only saw Nathanael standing there under the fig tree before he even met him, but he saw into Nathanael's heart. He saw Nathanael, a believer in the promise of Jehovah that the Messiah would someday come. He was not just a Jew by nationality, by race. He was a child of Abraham because he believed in the same promise that Abraham believed in, that the Messiah would come someday who would be the Son of God. Nathanael stands there stunned. He's amazed. How could this man not only say he saw me before he even met me, but even knows who I am? He knows what's in my heart. This divine seeing and knowing all of Jesus convinces Nathanael that Philip was right. This Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. So Nathanael confesses, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And that confession is and ever should be the heart and core of Christian faith. Jesus is the true Son of God. God in human flesh and blood, who has come into this world to be our King, to be the Savior of all people. This confession so filled the hearts of Philip, Nathanael, Andrew, Peter, the Apostle John, and all the disciples, that they gave their lives in service of the Lord, in that proclamation about Jesus. In fact, they gave their lives. Most of them were martyred, killed, for their proclaiming Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again. Let us give our lives, maybe not to death, but give our lives and our time and our energies and our talents to invite people, come. Come and see Jesus. It's so very simple. All you need to do is invite them to come to church. Come on to church. Come and see and hear Jesus. You'll hear him in his word. Or even simpler than that, tell them, turn on your TV, turn your computer, look on our Facebook, watch it on live stream, or get out to YouTube and see it there. Come and see Jesus. The invitation is so vital that the Word of God reaches individual hearts. Andrew began with his brother Peter. Philip began with his good friend Nathanael. Whom will you begin with this coming new year? A fellow worker? A neighbor? a classmate, your boss, a business partner, maybe a fallen away member, maybe a relative of yours that you know doesn't believe in Jesus as Savior. The opportunities are endless. The time is short. The message is crucial. And it's so very simple. Come and see Jesus. The time to do it is now. All of us have had the truth proclaimed to us. First of all, the truth about ourselves, that we are lost sinners, that we sin against God every single day of our lives, and by ourselves, we cannot get to heaven. We've all been told the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We've all learned the truth that this Son, Jesus, came into the world, was born to live a perfectly obedient life to his Father on our behalf. We've learned that this Jesus went to the cross to suffer and die and pay for my guilt and your guilt and the guilt of every single person in this world. We learned the truth that this Jesus rose from the dead for our justification. We've been led to confess our sins, to confess our faith in Jesus, who set us free from sin, death, and damnation, which our sins deserved. We cannot keep that good news to ourselves. We'll be compelled, forced, to tell others about Jesus. That's how the church grows and continues to grow. Through the Epiphany mission, saying, come. Come and see Jesus. Our second point, his promise keeps people with him. Jesus told Nathanael that he would see greater things than just Jesus' omniscience of seeing Nathanael before he met him and knowing who he was. Nathanael's faith and knowledge would grow as he learned more and more and saw more and more of Jesus' words and Jesus' actions. And here that Jesus says to him, I will die for you. I'll pay for your sins. You will have eternal life in heaven with me. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. When you read that, what do you think of? Immediately I thought of Jacob when he was fleeing from his brother Esau. And he fell asleep and had the dream of angels going up the ladder and down the ladder. And there's the Son of God at the top of the ladder. He realized that God was being faithful to his promise and that he was in fellowship with him. Jesus bridges the gap between heaven and earth, between a sinful people and our holy God. He alone has come to make peace with our God, our Heavenly Father, through his sacrificial death. He's the one mediator between God and man. He alone redeemed us. He alone has the truth that we need to proclaim to others. He alone is the one who can give us sinners the assurance that when we die, we will be taken from this veil of tears and sorrows to live with him in bliss and glory forever. You and I have had this blessed good news revealed to us and worked in us so that now we believe in Jesus with our whole heart. What's our response? May it be what the disciples said when they were told, don't tell about Jesus. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. This morning, Jesus says to every single one of you and to me, follow me. Then he says, go and tell others. And so we say to others, come, come and see Jesus. May the Holy Spirit, who has led us to receive Jesus as our Savior through faith, lead us not only to be eager to learn more and more about our Savior in our church services, in our Bible study, in our Bible class, but especially be eager to tell others about Jesus our Savior. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep our hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.